John's Gospel, chapter number 6. John's Gospel, chapter number 6 is where we'll take our text from for this morning. And I'll give you a few thoughts that the Lord has given to me. And I'll try not to keep you very long. That really doesn't mean anything, but I will try. But I don't think that I have a long sermon this morning. But I guess we'll find out here in just a minute. Somebody asked me before service, said, "Preacher, you got a good one for us this morning?" I said, "I don't know. We'll find out here in just a few." Amen. I don't know if it's a good one or not until I get about halfway through, and then I could give you a better estimation. And so I don't know if this was a long one or not. I guess I'll let you know here in just a few minutes. Amen. If you're in John chapter 6, I invite you to stand with us this morning and stretch your legs out for just a second. And we'll read a few verses. We'll read verse 1 down through verse 14. And then we'll pray and ask the Lord to bless us this morning, okay? John chapter number 6, the Gospel of John chapter number 6 and verse number 1. "And after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he said unto Philip, 'When shall we buy bread that these may eat?' And this he said to prove him, for he knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, 'There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?' And Jesus said, 'Make the men sit down.' Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, 'Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost.' Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above them that unto them that had eaten. And those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, 'This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world.'" Let's pray. Lord, we love you this morning. God, we're thankful for the opportunity that's ours to be in the house of the Lord. We're thankful, God, for the good presence that we felt during the singing. And Lord, we pray that you would manifest yourself greatly during the preaching. I pray, God, that you would help us to be able to say something that would edify and encourage the body of believers that are here today. Lord, I pray, God, that you would help us to have a greater desire when we leave out of the building this morning to give you what we've got. Lord, help us, we pray in Jesus' name, and amen. You can be seated. Now, I understand that the text before us this morning is not a new one. I'm sure that each one of you have heard various messages preached from John chapter 6 regarding this lad and his lunch. Interestingly enough, if I remember correctly, if I count correctly, I've preached 2 sermons since I've been with you here at Northside Baptist Church on this passage of Scripture, John chapter 6. But seemingly the Lord led me back to this text and showed me something this week that I don't know that I've ever seen before. It is not something great theological truth, but yet it is something that God placed upon my heart for this morning. We're familiar with this entire text, but I want to draw out one phrase from verse number 11 this morning and preach on that thought and give you what God has given to me. The Bible says in verse 11, "And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed unto his disciples." Notice that first phrase, "And Jesus took the loaves." That phrase hit me this week like it has never before. We all know the story of John chapter number 6. There's a multitude needing to be fed in this chapter. And there's only a small lunch wherewith they can feed this great multitude. And when Andrew brings the lad back to the Lord with his sack lunch, Jesus looks at what is offered to him and he takes it and uses it to perform a great miracle. I want you to notice something with me this morning. I want you to notice that Jesus did not refuse what was offered to him because of its size. Instead, Jesus blessed it, he broke it, and he filled bellies with it because it was offered unto him. I said that to say this. Oftentimes we get the idea that the Lord cannot do much with our lives. We think that we only have a little voice and we only have a little testimony and we're only a little person. But can I say that God is still taking little people and using them to do great big things? And we say, God cannot use our church. We're only few in number. And this is a great big community. And God cannot surely take a little church and do much with it. But I'd like to say that God can take little churches that are willing to give their lives to Him. And He can do more than we could ever imagine if we're willing just to give Him what we have. You see, Jesus takes what is offered to him, and he uses it for his glory. Amen. I want to preach for a few minutes this morning on the thought, Jesus will take what you have. Jesus will take what you have. I want you to notice three things in the text, and we'll be done. Notice this, number one, I want you to see the great scene. I want you to see, number one, the great scene. The Bible says in verse 2, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. The chapter begins by painting us a picture of the greatness of the situation. John tells us in verse 2 that it is a great multitude that has followed Christ this day. Then verse number 10 expounds upon verse 2, and verse 10 says that he made them to sit down. And when the men sit down on the grass, there was about 5,000 men in attendance this day. Now, I don't know exactly how many were there, but we know that there were more than 5,000. For John said it was 5,000 men. Now, one of the main characters in our text is a little lad who had a little lunch. Now, if he was just a young lad, we know that he would not have been numbered with the men. Therefore, we know there was more than 5,000. Most Bible commentators estimate anywhere from 25 to 35,000 people were in attendance this day. I've heard numbers upward of 40,000. But we know that there was a great multitude that had followed Christ. John wants us to consider the greatness of the situation. You see, this wasn't 12 disciples that needed to be fed. And this wasn't one little boy that needed to be fed. This was not even 5,000 that needed to be fed. But this was probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 to 35,000 people gathered on this hillside this day that had come to hear Jesus Christ. But I want you to see more than just the sheer number of the situation. I want you to see this. I want you to see the climate of the scene. I want you to see the climate. Mark chapter number 6, which is a sister text, says this in verse 34 and 35. Mark says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as a sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. And they are going to go into telling Jesus to send the multitude away. But Mark tells us that when the multitude comes to Christ, he describes them as being like a group of sheep that do not have a shepherd. Now, you and I know what the purpose of a shepherd is, do we not? The shepherd's purpose was to lead those sheep. So Mark says they were like a group of people that did not have a shepherd. Follow with me here if you will, please. If they are like a group of sheep not having a shepherd, that tells me that they are a wandering group of people, does it not? They're wandering. They have no one to lead them. They have no guidance in their life. They're a wandering group of people. They're like a flock of sheep that doesn't have a shepherd. That means that they're wandering. Maybe they're looking for direction. Maybe that would be a good way to say it. They're looking for direction in their lives. They've got no shepherd ahead of them. They're wandering. They're looking for direction. Maybe I'll say it this way. Can I say that maybe this is a picture of a group of lost people? Would that be an exaggeration to say that they were a group of lost people? If they were a group of sheep not having a shepherd, that means they were lost. They didn't know where they were going. This is a great scene of a group of lost individuals in Mark chapter 6 and in John chapter 6. The Bible tells us that they were not only like a group of lost people, but notice that this was a group of tired people. The Bible says that this group had left at daybreak to begin to follow Jesus Christ. They traveled to where Christ was, and now they have been upon the mountain and they've heard the sermon of Christ that lasted most of the day. And now it is late in the day. It is the evening time, and the sun is going down and the sun is setting. And this has been a long day, and this has been a hard day. This has probably been a hot day, and this is a tired group of people. Watch this, please. This is not only a lost group of people and a tired group of people. I want you to see the climate now, but this is a hungry group of people. Now, they left out at daybreak, and they traveled to where Christ was, and He's preached all day. And they've not had anything to eat. Now, I would imagine that if these were Baptist folk, they've probably been hungry for a long time.
Amen.
Y'all left out this morning from the house and you ate something at home, or you stopped and got a biscuit in the drive-thru on the way down here. But if the preacher preaches much past 12 o'clock, you think you're going to starve to death.
Amen.
Y'all might as well go ahead and say amen. I know how y'all start acting around 12 o'clock. You get fidgety and nervous, wonder how much longer he's going to preach. I got to eat. You ain't got to eat. Hey, but now listen. Jesus didn't preach 30 minutes like I try to do. I said try. He didn't preach 30 minutes like I try to do. Jesus had been preaching all day long. That tells me that they are far past hungry. They're a lost group of people. They're a tired group of people. They're a hungry group of people. But watch this. Mark makes it clear that it's evening time. The day is far spent, I believe is the phrase the text uses. The day was far spent. You know what that tells me? Brother Mike, that tells me that the sun's going down. That tells me that darkness is beginning to surround them. Tells me the day is almost over with. It won't be long before they're completely engulfed in darkness. As I begin to think about the great scene before us, I begin to think about the day and hour in which you and I are living. I do not think that I'm stretching things very far to say that we're living in a day and hour in which multitudes of lost people are all around us. There are multitudes of lost people all around us. These people are tired. Life has beat them down. Just the cares of life have wore them out. They are tired from life. They're tired from sin. They're tired from heartache. They're tired from mental anguish. They're a worn out group of people. Can I say they're a hungry group of people? Some people are looking for something to feel the hunger that is inside of them. There's something missing there that is a hunger, that is a desire inside of them. And they try to fill it with drugs. They try to fill it with alcohol. And they try to fill it with relationships. They try to fill it with pornography. And they try to fill it with this world. But they grow more and more hungry as time goes by. They're hungry for something. And I don't know if you've noticed, but good neighbor, the day is far spent. Darkness little by little is beginning to surround us. We're living in a dark day. Did you ever think, Brother Scott, we'd live in a day when people wouldn't know which bathroom to go in? That's how dark the day is that we're living in. I submit to you that it is evening time, that darkness is coming upon the horizon, that it's getting darker by the minute and darker by the hour, and it will not be very much longer before this world is completely engulfed in darkness and the day of God's grace will be over. And in the midst of this climate, Jesus is looking for somebody that has something to offer him to help the multitudes. I see the climate. Not only do I see the climate, but I want you to see this letter B about this great scene. Not only do I see the climate, but I see the committee. I see the committee. Look at, you don't have to turn here. You can write this down and look at it later. But Matthew, again, a companion text. Matthew says in chapter 14, verse 15, he said, "And when it was evening, that his disciples came unto him, saying, This is a desert place. The time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." You see, when evening begins to come and Jesus senses the need of the multitude around him, he asked his disciples a question. He said, "Gentlemen, I want you to feed them. How are we going to feed them?" Can I take a time out right here and say that Jesus is still asking the same question of you and I today? There's a multitude that is lost and tired and hungry in darkness today. What are we going to do to feed them? I need you to feed them. Do something to help them. He says, "What are we going to do to feed them, boys?" And the Bible says that they did what most good Baptists do. They formed a committee. Now, it seems as though that Philip was probably the spokesman of the committee, but they all were in agreement. The committee was, the best thing to do was to send them away. One of my heroes, Brother Dr. Joe Author, was preaching out of this text, and he said they formed their committee. He said, "You got to be worried about these people that all the time are forming committees." He said, "It won't be long. You'll have one committee and another committee and another committee, and it won't be long till you committee suicide," is what Brother Joe said. But they form their committee, and they say, "Lord, it's probably best, send them away." You see, they saw the scene around them. They counted the funds in the treasury. They scratched their heads and tried to figure out every way they could feed that multitude. And finally they came to the conclusion, it's too much for us. We can't help them. We are powerless amongst so many. Jesus, send them away. There's nothing we can do. Can I submit to you that our churches, without verbalizing it, have said the same thing? We have come to the place in our church, and we have come to the place in our own individual lives to where which we say, there's too many of them. The day is too dark for us. You know, the times that we're living in are too hard. People's hearts are too hard. Society's too immoral. There's nothing we can do to help. You know, just as long as my family's saved, as long as my four are in, that's good enough for me. I guess that'll just have to do. Hey, we've decided there's nothing we can do. We've decided there's no help we can give. But we've failed to realize there's one standing in our presence that has more power than we do. Amen. I see the great scene. Not only do I see the great scene, but number two, I see the gift supplied. I see the gift supplied. John chapter 6 verse 8 says, "And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" It seems that while the events are taking place in this chapter that Andrew gets the idea that he will go through the crowd and begin to gather up whatever food that they have to maybe gather enough food to feed them. And as he searches the crowd, he tells us that the only thing that he could come up with was one little lad with one little lunch. John tells us there's one boy that came prepared this day and brought something with him. But watch this. About this gift supplied, I want you to see, letter A, the willing lad. I want you to see the willing lad. Verse 9, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. What are they among so many? When Andrew finds the boy and his lunch, he asks if the little boy would be willing to share what he had with Jesus. Can you imagine in your mind the scene taking place? I can almost imagine the surprise in the little boy's eyes when one of the disciples singles him out among the thousands. I can almost picture the doubt that is in his heart when Andrew tells him that Jesus is looking for food whereby which he could feed the massive crowd. I can even picture the fear in his mind and the quickening of his pulse as he approaches Jesus with 5 loaves and 2 little fishes. How in the world could Jesus take someone like him with so little to offer and help somebody like this? Amen. What this little boy did not know was that Jesus, when he began this, and this is my favorite part of the text, Jesus knew when he began the day in the text, Jesus knew when he began that day who was going to bring a lunch and who wasn't going to bring a lunch. Amen. We believe that Jesus knows everything, right? You agree with me there? That means that when Jesus said, we're going to feed them, he knew exactly how he was going to feed them. He knew they didn't have anything. He knew in that massive crowd there was only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He knew that. He realized that. He was just now looking for someone who would be willing to give up what they had so that somebody else could get some help. Amen. He's just wanting somebody to be willing. Let me stop for a moment and say this. Jesus is not concerned with the size of the gift that you have to offer. You say, Brother Josh, I can't help. All I've got's a little voice. Can I remind you that all Moses had was a little staff? Amen. But with that little staff being used by God, he'd walk up to the Red Sea and hold it out, and those waters would part. He would smite rocks with it, and rivers of waters would flow out. Hey, I'm saying all he had was a little staff, but a little staff in the hand of God did great big things. You said, oh, Brother Josh, you don't realize that all that we've got is just a little church. All David had was a little sling and 5 little stones. But David come up to Goliath and he said, you come to me with spear and sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. And he took a little sling and he took a little stone, and with a little sling and a little stone in the hands of a big God, a giant fell at his feet. You say, Brother Josh, I can't help much. All I've got's a little money. I've just got a little offering. I've just got a little gift. But can I remind you of a little widow that just had one little cruse of oil, but she gave it over to the man of God, and she was able to save her house with it. Amen. Hey, in my Bible, I read about a woman with a little meal and a little meal barrel. But God took a little meal and a little meal barrel and fed her and fed her son and fed Elijah till the drought was over with. I read about a little fish with a little money that paid Peter's taxes. I read about a little woman named Esther with a little bit of faith, but she saved a great big nation. Hey, I'm saying God will take what you've got. God will take what you've got. God will take what you've got. I see the willing lad. But not only do I see the willing lad, letter B, I see the willing Lord. Not only the willing lad, but the willing Lord. Matthew chapter 14, verse 18. They come to Jesus and say, there's only 5 loaves and 2 fishes here. And Jesus responds in verse 18 and says, bring them hither to me. I love that. Matthew tells us that when Andrew comes back with the news of the little lad and his little lunch, Jesus commands him to bring them to me. I would imagine that Andrew was probably expecting Jesus to agree that the little lunch was not going to be enough to help that multitude. Andrew never expected the words that Jesus spoke next. When Jesus said, that'll do, just bring them to me, that'll do. Amen. He said, we've only got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It's just a little bit and it's a great big need. And Jesus said, that'll work. Bring it to me.
Amen.
The willingness of the Lord amazes me. Since the lad was willing to share what he could, the Lord was willing to take it. I've preached all morning to say this. You may consider what you have to offer the Lord too small. But can I remind you that while you just have a little, if you offer it willingly to the Lord, He in return will be willing to take it.
Amen.
There could be somebody in the crowd this morning and Jesus is wanting something from you. He's asked you to do something.
Amen.
He's asked you to do something. Somebody here, God's been dealing with you lately about doing something. I don't know what it is, but God's been asking you to do it. And you've been telling God no. Can I say that if you'd be willing to give it to Him, He'd be willing to do something big with it. Jesus is just waiting on somebody to offer what they have. There could be somebody here this morning and you've got just what He wants.
Amen.
Your little lunch, it seems so small to you. It seems so minuscule, so worthless to you. And the enemy says, that's worthless. That's ridiculous for you to even think that God could do something with that. How ridiculous of you. But can I say, that's all He wants is what you've got.
Amen.
That's all He's looking for. Is what you have to offer. The little boy gave his little lunch. He gave it willingly. He gave it without reservations. He gave it completely. And when we give something to the Lord like that, He takes it and uses it. I see the great scene. I see the gift supplied. Number three, I'm out of here. I see the gathered surplus. I see the gathered surplus. Again, we're in John 6. Verse 11 says, and Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And they were filled, and when they were filled, He said to His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. When the little lunch got out of the little boy's hands, and into the Lord's hands, a miracle took place.
Yes.
This little boy could have kept his little lunch for himself. He could have been selfish this day and said, Andrew, these people should have planned better than they planned. Mama gave me this lunch, and I'm going to keep it for myself. He could have doubted Andrew when Andrew said, the Lord wants what you've got. He could have said, no, sir, you're mistaken. God can't use what I've got. But instead, he offered the Lord in faith what he had, and Christ blessed it. As long as you're holding on to that thing in your life, it will always be little.
Amen.
Did you hear what I just said? As long as you continue to hold on to that thing, it will always be little. But if you'll give it to God, He can make it big.
Amen.
Notice letter A, the miracle. The miracle. Verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When Andrew brought this boy to Christ in his lunch, he makes the comment, but what are they among so many? Andrew knew about the large crowd. Andrew knew about the small lunch. But Andrew had never stopped to consider the greatness of God. It was a little lunch, but he was a big God. He was a small boy, but he was a big God. It was a great need, but he was a big God. The situation seemed impossible, but he was a big God. Darkness was coming, but he was a big God. They were hungry and tired, but he was a big God. They were lost, but he was a big God. The next time your doubt tells you you can't do something for God because you're not big enough, you remind your doubt that he's a big God. Amen. Doubt says you can't witness to your family, but he's a big God. Doubt says you can't afford to tithe to this church, but he's a big God. Amen. Doubt says that you've done too much for God to forgive you, but he's a big God. Doubt says you can't commit your life to him. He'd never use somebody like you, but he's a big God. Doubt says you shouldn't commit to this church, but he's a big God. I'm saying next time doubt says you can't, you're too little. Remind doubt that he's a big God.
Amen.
He's a big God. I see the miracle. I'm done. I see the motivation. Verse 13, therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Now there's some debate here as to what happened with this leftover food. Some people say the little lad took it home and he may very well have. I don't know. I just kind of believe though that the significance of the number 12, the Lord pointing that out, and them being 12 disciples. I can almost picture in my mind Jesus walking up to that committee of unbelievers when it's all over with. He hands Andrew a basket. He hands Philip a basket. He hands Judas a basket. He hands Thaddeus a basket. Bartholomew a basket. He's given those men baskets. And you know what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying, John, my leftovers were more than you started with. Hey, Philip, remember when you didn't think we could do it and you said send them away? I just want you to realize that I'm bigger than what you thought I was. Andrew, you said, what are they among so many? I want you to know that when it gets in my hands and I bless it, I'm able to do big things with just a little. I don't know how long it takes one man to eat on a basket full of food. There's some of us probably it wouldn't last as long as others. We'll not get into that. But I'm going to imagine that for days they ate on what was left over in that basket. And I can imagine, oh, James, every time he went to that basket and he opened it up, there was that food inside of it. He said, Lord, have mercy. How did we get all this? We just started with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Andrew opened up his basket to eat lunch a couple days later. And he thought, Lord, have mercy. I still can't believe what Jesus did when we just give him what we had. Hey, I'm telling you, there ought to be some motivation in this. God can use what you've got to offer. I read this poem this week, and I'll finish with this. The poem's called 5 Loaves and 2 Fishes. It said, God uses what you have to fill a need which you could have never filled. God uses where you are to take you where you never could have gone. God uses what you can do to accomplish what you could never have done. God uses who you are to let you become who you could have never been. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, nobody looking around, no music, no singing, no nothing. Just a question. What is it that God's been wanting from you?